Thank you very much. My talk will be more historically than technical, and I think some of the younger don't even know the times 32 years or 26 years ago. So maybe I should remind you how the situation was before TEC. So this is a PhD thesis of my colleague Urs Kirchgraber in Zurich. His thesis was written with an electrical typewriter, but of course no symbols, no formulas were available. So he had a wonderful handwriting. I could have never have written that in this nice fashion. Then my PhD advisor, Peter Henrici, he used an IBM golf ball typewriter. And this is a part of his book that he wrote, Computational Complex Analysis. And as you can see, it was possible to write symbols and Greek characters, like here. But of course, the integral looked ugly because they had the same size as the other fonts. It was not possible to store text. And the typeset page looked like this. The book had to be typeset by a typesetter. The next step is so-called FlexoWriter, a solution of Heinz Rutishauser. So Heinz Rutishauser wrote the first book in this series, Handbook for Automatic Computation. This series of Springer was meant to encode once for all everything, and you would not have to touch any program anymore. Imagine that. So the first volume was a description of the language, description of Algol 60. And Rutishauser wrote this book using a FlexoWriter machine with a tape reader and punch here. And why did he use this? Because he wanted to make sure that in his manuscript that he would give to Springer, there would be no mistakes in the program. He would copy the program directly to paper tape and copy them here on this thing. Anyway, the book has to be typeset. And I tell you, this FlexoWriter killed Rutishauser because I, as a student of him, I had to write my thesis, of course, also with the FlexoWriter. And how does this work? Look, this is a part of my thesis. Let's look at this fraction here. So you write the thing sequentially from top to down. So what you write here is first is H minus H. And then the second line comes, and you write this K underlined, and this K minus right underlined. And so then comes the third line, you write the minus and the big T, and so on. So it's a terrible work, you know, to do that right. Of course, we had our tricks. We went with the paper tape, we skipped some, and we went back and punched there, and so on. It was possible. But The tedious thing was when correcting. So when you had to correct something here, you wanted to add a line or something, then you would make the FlexoWriter type this. The paper would be read. And then at the right moment, you had to say, bang, and then you get a heart attack, you know, because just before the character was printed, you had to stop the machine. And then you would type your new stuff in, and then you skip the other thing, and you go on. So this is the advantage of this thing. The text was stored. You could fix it. So in 77, 78, I had the chance to be as a postdoc in Stanford, and I wrote my habilitation, and I had another chance. Phyllis Winkler, the technical typist of Don Knuth, typed my habilitation. I have written everything in hand, of course, and if you look at this, she did a wonderful job. She was not only fast, she was also very correct. You could rely that things were right. So she typed it using an electrical typewriter, but there was also no storage of the text. So in that year, as postdoc, I got to know Don Knuth and Jill Knuth. And once, I remember that day, I saw for the first time a printed page coming out with mathematics out of the printer, I didn't understand what was going on. I thought maybe it's a photocopy or something like that. It was really strange. So this was produced by Tech, and when I understood what it really was, I decided to learn write using Tech. So after, when I went back to Switzerland, I got the first beautiful type document in Tech. This is a part of the PhD thesis of Nick Trefetin. This was 1979. And then in 84, I had a sabbatical, and I decided to go to Stanford because in Switzerland you couldn't use Tech. It was just here. So I wanted to go to Stanford to learn Tech and write this book. So I went with a bag, with a suitcase full of manuscript. I went to Stanford. And you see us here. Here is Don and Jill, my wife Heidi, which sits also somewhere here, my two daughters and myself. So the goal of the sabbatical was to write a textbook in Tech. But then a graduate student, Mark Kent, pointed out, Professor Gander, there is a version of LaTeX now, just came out. Maybe you should use this for writing a full book. And look, here is a second preliminary edition, February 28, 1984. I have this manual at home still. And so I said, okay, I have to learn Tech or LaTeX, doesn't matter, let's learn LaTeX. So I started with LaTeX, and I wrote that book. And here are a few graduate students. You can see here Mark Kent, Chris Fraley, Nick Hayam was a visitor, postdoc here, then Pat Worley, Veronica Kent, the wife of Mark. This was a Belgian visitor. I don't know his name anymore. And Heidi and my two children and myself went in the foothill park for a walk. So the book which I wrote was a German book, a German textbook teaching algorithm written in Pascal and mostly focused on numerical analysis. The computer I used was a Unix VAX with Tech LaTeX installation. I had to learn Emacs. That's what they told me, you have to learn that. And I still love it. And I started with a chapter 4, which was entitled Polynome, because this was mostly finished, this chapter. Okay. But that was already quite a challenge. This is the chapter, and to typeset this as a LaTeX beginner was a nightmare. So here you see the code, and that's how it looked like then, really. Sorry for the bad fonts here. Okay, anyway. So graphics, there was no use package graphics and include graphics at that time, so I used basic LaTeX commands like a vector short stack and so on, put, frame box. So this thing here is generated by this LaTeX primitive commands. Then typesetting Pascal. Today, I think we are a bit sloppy or lazy. We use verbatim or verbatim input, and the program which would be written like that would just appear like that in the text. But at that time, I didn't want it. I wanted the begin, end, be boldface and nice, you know. So I wrote my program like that. I have made a little Pascal program that would read a Pascal program and would indent and would do the reserved words in capitals. So this was my input. And so I had to ask how to indent, and Leslie Lampert recommended the tabbing environment. I corresponded with him by email. And I didn't want to retype the program, so I used Emacs to put some additional commands into that thing without changing them heavily. So you see, this is the program of before. I put some backslashes in, and I put backslash in front of each reserved words, which I had all redefined. I replaced begin by slash begin and so on. And then from this thing here, we got this. So it looked quite nice, you see. So this is the printing room in Stanford. Here's a photocopy at that time, 1984, and this is the laser printer, the Dover printer, one of the first laser printer. Now, if you stand here and look to the Dover printer, you see this. And notice the notice here. It says, please, do not put paper in upside down. If you responded to one with a huh, please do not put paper in, you see. So, fall, we have our Swiss National Day party, 1984. We had a big party, and Åke Björk was visiting here from Sweden. This is a colleague of mine from Zurich, Don Knut, and my daughter Beatrice, who serves here in a Swiss national dress. And in fall 84, the book was finished, the manuscript was finished. There was a party at Wiederholz. Voy Wiederholz invited everybody to celebrate. And Don Knut said, now it's proved that LaTeX is useful. And I submitted the book to publisher, to several publishers. All accepted it. They were thrilled by the nice-looking output. And then I decided to go with Birkhäuser. I had, of course, to do proofreading. I found there a comma missing, there some mistake, and so on. I did that. But then in Switzerland, there was no way to correct this thing. I had no tech installation. So what do you do? On Christmas, I bought a plane ticket, $2,200, rather, and I came back to Stanford. I lived with the Kents in Quillen, high rise, a week long. I corrected everything, and then I wanted to produce the final manuscript to give to the publisher. And Don Knut had not only the Dover printer, but there was in the basement something which we had no access, but it was an alpha type photo typesetter. So it must be a huge machine. So I said, okay, I will pay, but we print it on this alpha type printer. And of course it was down in that week. I could not use it. So what did we decide? We said, okay, we will... it was down in 85, and I asked Mark Kent to print it and send me the rolls by email. It was on rolls. And a few weeks later, I really got the book. But when I looked through, my God, the page break was completely different than what I expected. It was not the same as I had in Stanford in January. And, most of it was okay. It didn't matter so much. But one page was really terrible, half page blank, and the table somewhere else. So I took a scissor and glue and made copy-paste, real copy-paste, for the few pages, and sent that in. And then the book appeared. So that was this book here, first edition in 85 from Birkhäuser, and there was a second edition in 92. Okay, so in that book I had lots of exercises which a student had to solve, mostly programming exercises. So for the teacher, you need to make a book where the solutions are there, otherwise you cannot give that book away. So I had to write a second book, The Solution, Lösungen der Aufgaben mit Turbo Pascal Programmen. So I had to write a second book which would solve all the exercises. Okay, I bought a PC Olivetti M24 for $6,000. 10 megabyte hard disk. I mean, no, not two floppy disks like they used before. 10 megabyte hard disk. Tech used up 5 megabyte. So I could not install LaTeX, would ruin my machine. Okay, so what to do? Solution book had to be written in plain text. So I had to learn that. I wrote a few macros so that things looked nearly as the same as in LaTeX. It was not too difficult because it was just only the same structure. You had the the exercise and then the solution, next exercise solution, so quite simple structure. And then came, I had a matrix, a dot matrix printer to print that stuff out. It took forever, and it was very ugly to look at. And when the book finally was finished, there was no previewer, as I recollect. You had to print things out to look at it. So when I was finished, I had the problem to print this thing. Take another ticket to Stanford and print it on the alpha type? No. So I asked around and I found Jan Olof Stenflo from ETH, an astronomer. He's a Swede. And he had 1986 a Tech LaTeX installation at ETH. I think he was the first at ETH who had such an installation, with a laser printer, and so I could print it there. That was this thing there. So, epilogue. I will not use the 35 minutes, I'm afraid. The book is no longer in print. The copyrights are returned to me, and I wanted to put it in public domain, so I offered it to Google. My God, this is a long process. I haven't heard from them for half a year at least. So I decided to put it myself on a website, and it can be downloaded from this thing here. And the astonishing thing was, I compiled the book with PDF LaTeX. Of course, I had not many figures and complicated things in, but it compiled without major changes after 26 years. Just amazing, you know. No other typesetting system is so stable for so many times. So that's why I should just say thank you, Don and Leslie, for what you have done. That's it.
Thank you, Walter. Are there any questions? Yes.
Very simple question.
I was just wondering, on your Olivetti, did you use Emacs?
I'm still using Emacs. I'm sorry. I'm still using Emacs with Octex, and I like it very much. Yes.
Okay. Very simple question. When you did it for the first time, now the page breaks. Did it change again?
If I did did not change again. No,
not change again.
No,
the same
it was the same.
1986.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I could. I find that really interesting because In the very same year, 1984, I went on sabbatical to Royal Holloway College in London, and actually imported a tape from Maria Code. I don't know if there really was a Maria Code or whether that was really a clever name. Oh, Barbara says there really was a Maria Code. What an eponymous name. Put it on a VAX, just like you did, and used the VAX editor, which was really interesting. It was done in plain tech, and I had to write my own driver for the printer. They had a dot matrix printer, which printed at a glorious 200 dots per inch, and I had to write a driver that would, you know, just put the dots on the page in the right place. So tedious, but not difficult, just long. And I do remember that when that thing was printing, I could hear what part of the page was going on, because when you had a lot of white space, you know, every time the thing started going, you hear this little zzz, you know. So when you got to dense text, it would go zzz, and when you got to empty spaces, it would suddenly go quiet. But what I really remember is the printing room was in somewhere else, you know, not where ordinary mortals could go. And I knew I had it right the first time because everybody stopped, and there was this crowd of people around the printer watching things come out. And things have never been the same for them since. This was in plain tech, and I think it would compile like yours. I think it would compile to the same thing again. However, I'm not going to do it because one of the things I realize is I've learned a lot about typesetting since then, and I'd be way too embarrassed to let you see what I did. It was really bad.
I had similar painful experience in around 1983 when I started with tech and at Imperial College. I was the first number one user at Imperial College, supported by Malcolm Clark.
Yes, and so.
We were trying to work things out together. Of course, this is before any screen preview, any laser printer. And we had an Autologic typesetter, which was running off-site. So we would have to send the job as a batch. It would come back as a big roll. So I tried very hard to paginate it, but it was just too much work. So in the end, I just printed a long galley and literally cut and paste the whole thesis together, but still looked good.
Well, what a glorious era we live in. No doubt about it.
So, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.